Welcome. This morning, I'm going to be speaking on Ezekiel 37. Alan asked me to do some preaching, and I've been just holding back for a while. And I just felt the Lord leading me to Ezekiel 37. I have to tell you, this morning, it was a hard sermon to prepare for me. I really struggle with it. But God has a message for us this morning, because He's a faithful God, and He's a good God, and He wants us to come alive, and that's the title of the message, Come Alive. I know there is a song that we're going to be listening to later on, and it's called Come Alive, and it talks about the dry bones. So many of us have some areas in our lives where we have given up. Maybe we have dead dreams. Maybe we had hopes, things that we hoped for that didn't happen. Maybe there was a doctor's diagnosis and it just hit us hard because we are in these bodies and we want to live. We want to be here. We want to be with our friends, with our families. Maybe you've been told all your life that you are good for nothing, or something that you can't do something, and that brings death into our lives. And you know, sometimes words can just stand. You know, when you hear those words, it just goes. You know, negative words they go so deep, but also good words go deep into our spirits, and sometimes we just come to believe the negative. And sometimes we have a hard time believing the positive, even though people are giving us, you know, positive words from the Word, and we just, those things are hard for us. Maybe sometimes it feels like something died inside of us. You know, I'm walking, but something is dead. I'm not really alive. And so this morning we're going to look at Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. And I would like to use this morning, I know we never used that before here at the church, but I want to use the Complete Jewish Bible, because I love how they translate the names of God. And I just love that translation. So I'm going to use that one. You can use your own Bibles. You can open it up to Ezekiel 37, 1 to 14. According to some commentators, there are three different thoughts on this story, on this vision that Ezekiel had. One is that the dead there will be a resurrection of the dead when Jesus comes back. That's one interpretation. Another one is a resurrection and full restoration of Israel, and we believe that. Amen. There's resurrection, also another one, of ungodly men from their spiritual death and made to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. So in these three thoughts, as I was studying and reading about this passage, the thread that is in common in all that is resurrection. And that's what I want to focus on this morning, on resurrection. As we know, or maybe if you don't know, Ezekiel was a priest and a prophet. And he had this vision, a very powerful image for us to think about and to ponder about this week as we go home this morning. The Israelites were exiled in Babylon. And in 1597 BC, that's when the Babylonian forces came and took the Judean king and took all the leaders too. And young Ezekiel was part of that group of people that they took. But then the same thing happened 10 years later. There were more people taken into captivity. So when they were in captivity, they felt it was a physical suffering, but also a communal identity crisis and also of faith. Because they were taken, they could not probably worship God the way they wanted to worship Him. They didn't have the temple. They were taken. And they were captive. And one of the things that that happened over and over and over in the Old Testament is that we read that, you know, and the people sinned, and there was transgression. And, you know, every time that that happens, then the people of God went into captivity. And even today for us, you know, when we sin, you know, somehow, in some way, we are captive of the enemy because he wants to keep us in the grave. He wants to keep us captive in our thoughts, in our mind, in everything. He wants to take away from us that love and devotion for God. And when he can keep us captive in different things that we do as we sin in our lives, then we are not able to give God honor and glory because he is Lord and he is King. So this vision was about the renewal of Israel's life and return to their home. It is a new resurrection. It says a new heart, a new spirit. It said in a renewed land because that's where this is about, and a new leadership. And that's what Ezekiel, when he saw this vision, was proclaiming to the exiles. But I believe that we have an application for us today because we go through the same things. We are not unlike the exiles. We're not unlike them. You know, they were human. We're human. We sin. We do things that takes us back from God, moves us away from God. So we are like them. You know, I cannot read the Bible and say, well, you know, I just point the finger, because we also do the same things at times. So first, Ezekiel sees in his vision a valley of dry bones. And I'm going to read, it says in verse 1, it says, with the hand of Adonai upon me, Adonai carried me out by his spirit, and set me down in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. He had me pass by all around them. There were so many bones lying in the valley, and they were so dry. I love here where Ezekiel, in this Bible, in this translation, he talks about Adonai. And Adonai means Lord. In your Bibles, probably that's why you read the Lord. But later also in this passage, we're going to read Adonai Elohim, which means the all-powerful one, the creator, is God, the creator. I also, as I was reading this, I was looking at it says, with the hand of Adonai upon me. And I was looking, okay, what does it mean, the hand of the Lord? And there are different passages in the Bible that talks about the hand of the Lord. And this, the hand of the Lord, is used on Elijah, in Elisha, and in Ezekiel. But it's used in the book of Ezekiel 7 times when it says the hand of the Lord. And it's found 36 times in the Old Testament and 3 times in the New Testament. And we understand that when he talks about the hand of the Lord, it means that the hand of the Lord is powerful. But also his hand is deadly against his enemies, and in particular against the enemy of our souls. And also with his hand, the hand of the Lord empowers his servants. He empowers you. He empowers me. But also with his hand, he says that he disciplines his people. And that's in Psalms 38, 1, 2, 3. But he also with his hand, he helps his people. And he was carried, he says, by the Spirit. He carried me out by the Spirit. And Spirit is the word translated into English from Ruach. Ruach is in the Strong's Concordance, if you want to look at that. It says, all that happened here was by the power of the Spirit. So that word means, I mean, it's mentioned 10 times in his vision. And it means, it's translated as wind, breath, or spirit. And the same word in the Greek also. We see it's pneuma, and it means the same thing. It's translated. So sometimes when you're reading the Bible, you don't know, well, you know, which one of the words you are using, but basically it's ruach, and it just means those three things. So when you read your word, when you go home and you read the Bible, you know, and then you're reading that, and then you're thinking, yeah, that is ruach, or that's pneuma, which is in the Greek. But one interesting thing here, he said that the bones were so dry. There's an emphasis there. The bones were so dry. And that meant he was emphasizing the severity the condition of the bones. The bones, probably as Ezekiel saw them, probably they were beyond being alive, you know, beyond what can be fixed. But also bones, I thought, what is bones? You know, why are bones significant in this vision? And bones, I found out, that refer to one's deepest self, the substance of body, life, and strength. It's deep. You know, that's why when people speak words of blessing, they go deep inside of us. But when people speak words that are not blessing, that are negative, they also go deep, because it's the deep part of ourself. So, but Ezekiel wasn't just there to look at the great number of bones. God had a purpose and asked him a question. In verse 3, it says, human being, can these bones live? I answer, Adonai Elohim, only you know that. Wow. Remember what Adonai Elohim means? It means the all-powerful one, creator. So he was not just saying Lord, but he's saying Lord, the all-powerful creator. Because only God could make those bones live. Amen? Only God could resurrect the dead bones. Nobody else can. And then we in Genesis, I was just remembering that in 2:7 it says that Adonai God formed a person from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils and breath of life, so that he became a living being. So now, can these bones live? We go back to Ezekiel. You know, presumption, maybe as we read that, or even as, I don't know if you ever asked yourself that question, or as you read this story, maybe presumption would say, yes, we know God is God, right? Or maybe unbelief would say, no, no way, those bones are dead. You know, if you are looking at that vision, if God will be showing you that vision, those bones are dead. They're just no life. They're broken. There's nothing there. But I love the way Ezekiel responded, and he responded with faith, because he also knew the word. He knew that only God is the one that can give life. In Deuteronomy 32:39, I think when he saw that vision, I imagine that Ezekiel thought about this passage in Deuteronomy 32:39 that says that God can take away life and God can give life. So it takes faith and knowledge of the word. Because if we don't have faith or knowledge, we're not going to be able to say that. And I just love that about Ezekiel. That's what he said to God. He said, Adonai Elohim, Lord, the all-powerful one, the creator. And that's what Ezekiel did. But maybe, you know, maybe sometimes, maybe some of us would have said no, you know, if we would have given that vision. You know, in our own humanness, you know, what is God trying to tell me here? You know, sometimes some of you, maybe the Lord gives you a dream or a vision, and it's kind of like, what does this mean? You know, I don't understand it. But later on, we're going to see that God gives interpretation to this vision, and I love that too about this passage. So second of all, Ezekiel obeys God and prophesies to the bones, and that we're going to read 4, 5, and 6, 7, and 8. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones. Say to them, dry bones, hear what Adonai has to say. To the bones, this is Ezekiel said, to the bones, Adonai Elohim says, I will make breath enter you and you will live. I will attach ligaments to you, make flesh grow on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you. You will live and you will know that I am Adonai. So I prophesy as order. And while I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. It was the bones coming together, each bone in its own place. As I watched, ligaments grew on, flesh appeared, and skin covered them. but there was no breath in them. Can you imagine that picture? Can you imagine that vision? Seeing the bones and hearing the rattling of the bones. And here, you know, seeing this thing getting, all the bones get together. And then seeing the skin and seeing everything put together. But he says there was no breath in them. I just want to remind you this morning, you know, to prophesy is to speak under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one giving you the message. So Ezekiel was speaking to the dry bones. That also takes faith, right? And obedience. Because he saw the dry bones and, you know, like what it seemed like impossible to us human, but Adonai Elohim said, God, the Creator said, speak to the bones. And we're going to see later too that you and I, God is calling us to speak. Amen? Amen. Not just Ezekiel. So there was the emphasis in this part is that there's no breath. I don't know, there's, I don't know if it's a movie or what it is. I don't know what it is, but I don't know why the thought came to my mind that there's something, the walking death. I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's good or bad. But maybe it sounds bad. Maybe it's bad. I don't know. But it reminded me of that. You know, the people were alive, but they were dead at the same time. So how can the bodies be alive, but then dead? You know, just walking because there was no breath in them. And again, breath in Hebrew is spirit, wind, and breath. There's two, ruach. So his faith and his prophetic action and obedience, it's very important because sometimes God can tell us to do something and we kind of like are timid, we're afraid, we're kind of like, did I really hear God? What if Ezekiel would have said, did I really hear God? You know? But God, when God speaks, I just love his obedience. He just, in every step, he saw what God said, he did it. And that's what we need to do today. Then Ezekiel prophesies to the breath because there was no breath in the bodies and the bones. He says, next he said to me, prophesy to the breath. That's 9. Prophesy, human being. Say to the breath that Adonai Elohim, again, says, come from the four winds. Breath and breathe on this lane so they can live. So I prophesy as order, and the breath came into them, and they were alive. They stood up on their feet, a huge army. You know, I just trying to wrap my mind around how many bones were there, because he says it was a huge army. Can you imagine in that vision, if I don't know what I would do just looking at that vision, probably I would just have my mouth open. You know? I'd be like, wow, kind of overwhelming to see an army. An army is a lot of people. But he spoke to them. Here in verse 9, so again we see the 3 minutes of Ruach. What is it? Man, speak to me. What is Ruach? Breath, wind, and spirit. Okay, come on, you guys. Breath, wind, spirit. Thank you. So when God created Adam from the dust, you know, he breathed on him. Now, I looked and, okay, why four winds? You know, in this, the prophets in the Old Testament and in even Revelation, there's so much symbolism that we don't understand. And I'm going like, four winds. Okay, what does that mean? You know, yeah, four winds. And I found out that when the Bible talks about four winds, usually it's in reference for some remarkable, unusual, or devastating event. That's what the four winds mean. But I believe that in this one, it was a remarkable happening that Ezekiel was seeing. For example, in Acts 2:2, it says that 120 believers were in the upper room, and they heard, what is it? A sound of the wind. That's the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is symbolized by wind, a dove, fire, different things, water, but that was the wind. So now let's look at the number four. The Hebrews' understanding of the number four was completeness. So the four winds is something remarkable happening, right? You see this story, you see the vision, but also the number four is completeness. So that means that God wanted to complete the job, wanted to complete what he was showing Ezekiel in this vision. It wasn't just to, you know, to have Ezekiel to be in awe of what he was seeing, but he was with a purpose. God wanted to bring completeness in that situation. So the body parts came together, but they also needed the Spirit of God. Amen? John 20:22, it says that Jesus breathed to his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, you remember that was when Jesus breathed on them, that was before they were in the upper room, right? That was when Jesus resurrected, he came alive. Then he met the disciples and he says, he breathed the Holy Spirit. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. And that's what God wants us to receive his Holy Spirit so that we can know that he is Lord, so that we would know that we have a purpose on this earth. It's not just, you know, as a little kid, I remember, little girl, I didn't grow up a Christian, but I remember I was maybe 4 years old, around there, and I used to think, what are we here in this world for? Is it to live, get married, work, and die? What purpose is that? As a little kid. And I believe that that was God already speaking into my spirit, into my life, that he wanted to come and bring life to me, like he wants to bring life to everybody. And also, I believe that that we will see that God always keeps his word. God always keeps his promises. Amen? Amen. So then God gives Ezekiel the meaning of the vision. And I like this part because sometimes, you know, when people see visions and dreams, they struggle. Okay, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? You know, I heard this word. What are you trying to tell me? What is it for whom? For what? When? But in this vision, I loved it that God gave Ezekiel the meaning or the interpretation. In 11, he said, then he said to me, human being, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And they are saying, this is what the house of Israel, that's what the people were saying. Our bones have dried up. Our hope is gone. And we are completely cut off. That's what they were saying. Dry up means no life whatsoever. Hope is gone, no future. Completely cut off, no connection. They did not feel a connection with God. You know, when you lose hope, or anybody lose hope, is that drying of the bones. Because when there's no hope, there's no future. Did you hear me, church? When there is no hope, there is no future. Because we give up. And when you give up, and I believe that's what happened probably to the exiles at that time, they felt dried up, hope is gone, completely cut off. And it reminded me of the story when Moses went up the mountain, remember, to meet with God before he brought the Ten Commandments. The people say, he's taking too long. Maybe he won't come. They lost hope. And what did they turn to? Idols. And that's exactly what the exiles did too. Now, today, you know, when we see the story of that of Moses, they made this calf of gold, and we think of idols sometimes just as those kinds of things. But idols can be anything that we put before God. Anything that you put before God is an idol. But that was... So it's important to have hope, because when hope is lost, everything is gone, and we turn different ways away from God. But you know, God says in Proverbs 23:18, he says, "For then you will have a future. What you hope for will not be cut off." Amen? Amen? What you hope for will not be cut off. You know, what are you hoping for this morning? What are you really hoping for? Are you hoping for a brand new car? Are you hoping for a new brand home? There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're putting that ahead of God, again, that becomes an idol. But what we hope for will not be cut off. So I declare over you, church, what you hope for, it will not be cut off. I declare that over you this morning. When you go home, what you hope for, it will not be cut off in Jesus' mighty name. Then Ezekiel prophesies a third time to the people as God asked him to do. So he prophesied to what? The bones? Yes, bones. He prophesied to what? The breath. And now he prophesies to the people. Correct. Yes. That was the third time that he prophesies in this story. He says, "Therefore, prophesy, say to them that Adonai Elohim, the Lord God, all-powerful creator, says, my people, I will open your graves." So even when they were alive, they were dead because they had no hope. He says, "Open your graves and make you get out of the graves, and I will bring you into the land of Israel." Remember, this was related to the exiles, and I believe to Israel today. "Then you will know that I am Adonai, when I have opened your graves and made you get up out of your graves, my people. I will put my spirit in you, and you will be alive. Then I will place you in your own land, and you will know that I, Adonai, have spoken, and that I have done it, says Adonai." So Ezekiel prophesied three times. Now, what would have happened if Ezekiel said, "Well, I don't know, Lord. I don't know." But I'm thankful that Ezekiel was obedient. And that's what God seeks from each one of us, obedience and trust. Even in the middle of the dry bones, when you see everything seems dead, everything is not going anywhere. And three, as I was looking, you know, as I was saying, as I was looking at different things in this passage, it took me a while to get it all together. And then I was telling Alan, maybe I shouldn't wait till later on because this is not coming together for me. But then I looked at the number three, and it says the number of redemption or resurrection. That's what the number three symbolizes. And as you remember, Jesus was dead for how many days? 3 days, three nights, and then there was resurrection. So there is hope, people. There is hope, people of God, that there is a resurrection. Ezekiel is commanded to prophesy to the people. God sees their spiritual situation. But there is always resurrection and complete restoration for each one of us. God is the only one that can open the graves of hopelessness and despair and fill us with his Holy Spirit. And God is always ready for us to come to him and say, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Touch me." Now, what do the graves represent? They already have spoken to the bones, to the breath. People came together. Also prophesied for the Holy Spirit, people to receive the Holy Spirit. So what do graves represent here? The grave represents the spiritual condition of the people, and only God can bring them out of the grave. In the New Testament, we remember the story of Lazarus, right? He died, and Jesus went to Lazarus on the fourth day, and he said to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come out." And he's saying to you, Each one of you, put your name. And I say, Rebecca, come out. Come on, say to yourself. Say your name. Come out. Because God wants to bring that resurrection, bring you out of that grave. There is hope and there is future for you. The word, declare the word of the Lord. Jeremiah, a very known passage. For I know the plans I have for you, for I have in mind for you, says Adonai. Plans for well-being. And I love this translation because it says, not for bad things, so that you can have a hope and future. Amen? Resurrection will happen because God always keeps his word. So we see in this passage, very powerful passage, that Ezekiel understood the situation that the people were in. And it was not only as a result of the Babylonian, conquering and trying to build their empire, but because of the Israelites' disobedience and sins that they had committed. Ezekiel was willing to be used by God and follow his commands. The vision brought good news and brought a prophetic vision of resurrection and deliverance. God always determines the course of history. It doesn't matter what we think. You know, we see different things going around us. But he says, not by might, not by power, but by my what? My spirit, says the Lord. So don't despair when we see things happening in this world. Different things happening. We should not be despairing. We should be saying, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. God, you have everything in control, and trust him. You see, where there is trauma, God will bring healing. Where there is death, God will bring resurrection life. And when there is hopelessness and despair, God brings hope. With God's Spirit, anything is possible. Ezekiel prophesied to the breath. Jesus breathed on the disciples to receive the Holy Spirit. So this morning, I have an invitation. And I want you to, there was a paper passed, a great paper with a picture of a bone. And I wanted you to think, where are the dry bones in your life or in your situation? God wants to bring life and restoration to you. Believe it. Declare it. Maybe there's dead dreams, unfulfilled promises, hopeless situations that you say, nobody can fix this. Maybe it could be in relationships. Seems like there's deadness there. And maybe you have given up. And this morning, as a step of faith, just write that thing that is difficult for you. Just write it in a piece of paper. Because, you know, Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. That's what the word says. So if we do not allow hopelessness, if we do not allow the enemy to come and rob us and put us in that grave of hopelessness, then we can have that life, abundant life. So there are two balls. There's one here on that side, right by the cross. And there's the other one over here, more visible. Just come. We're going to have a song that I would like you, as you were writing and thinking, what is it that the Lord is asking you to give to him this morning? What is God asking you to give? Maybe to you it's hopeless. But with God, there's nothing impossible. Everything is possible with God. Amen? Just like he made those bones live, he can also bring life to that situation. So let's listen to this song, Come Alive. And
through the eyes of men, it seems there's so much we have lost. As we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory. We know there is more to come that we may not yet see. So with the faith you've given us, we'll step into the valley unafraid. Yeah. As we go.
I declare that every hopeless situation, these dry bones that have been brought before the Lord God, before Adonai Elohim, we bring it to you, Father God, Adonai Elohim, every hopeless situation. And Father, I pray that your name will be glorified. Lord, that we will hear the testimonies of those bones and the breath, and the people will come alive in the name of Jesus and by the power of the blood of Jesus. And even for those who are thinking, Father God, what should I put in there? Or maybe whatever they're holding back, Father God, I pray that even in those prayers right now, even in those thoughts, Father God, that you bring hope. You bring hope and restoration. You bring resurrection in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father God, because you are a good God and you desire to restore. You desire to give us your Holy Spirit. So dead bones, come alive. Breath, come alive. Holy Spirit, come and touch your people in this congregation. I want to invite the worship team and the prayer teams to come forward. If you want to be used by God, this is the invitation this morning. If you want to be used by God, please come and have somebody join you in prayer, that you can bring life to others and hope to others. If you feel cut off, separated from God, maybe, you know, sometimes there are times in our lives when we just feel like, I need something else. I don't know God. I need something more from God. Just come if you feel cut off. Are you discouraged? Do you feel dead inside? Maybe you just, you know, You go to work, you do what you need to do every day, take care of the family, take care of the children, go to school, whatever it is. It's just a normal thing. But you feel cut off. You feel dead inside. God wants to bring life to you this morning. If you have any other prayer requests, please come forward. The prayer team is here to pray with you. And the last one that I want to invite people, if you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, amen? Because he's the only one that can bring life to you. Jesus gave his life so that we can live. Amen? That's why he died. That's why we just celebrated his resurrection. And God wants to bring resurrection in your life. God wants to give you his spirit. He wants to touch you. And he wants to make you whole. So please come. Prayer team is here, ready to minister to you.